Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Korach. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, in Sichas Musar, in an essay entitled Redifas HaKavod, asks a pretty much rhetorical question. We have a theme in the Parsha and in the Haftarah. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he clarifies his position, he states to the Shevet of Levi, Loi chamar echad mehem nasasi. He says, I never, ever took a chamar from Klal Yisrael. I never used their services. I paid for everything myself. Rashi says, even when I had a right to, when I was entitled to use their money because I was involved in Sarchi Tzibur, I still spent all my own money on it. Shmuel HaRamasi says in the Haftarah, Hinenu anubi, all of you, respond to me, neged Hashem and neged Meshicha, in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in front of His anointed one Shaul. Please, testify in front of me. Es shar mi lakachti v'chamar mi lakachti. Whose shar or chamar did I ever take? Did I ever use anybody's item? I always spent all of the needs from my own money. All expenses were paid by me. So, they mean to say that therefore, you can't come to us with a taina, says Moshe Shmuel, that I'm trying to boss you around, I'm trying to get something out of you. It's not true. It's all totally the Shem Shemaim. That's the Pasuk Pshat. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz has, again, sort of rhetorical question. And that is, L'chaira, how could Moshe and Shmuel say that they never received anything from Bnei Yisrael? They definitely received much kavod. Klal Yisrael definitely would give much respect to Moshe Rabbeinu, stand up. The Torah describes how they would stand in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. They for sure gave kavod to Shmuel. So how can Moshe and Shmuel say there's nothing in it for them? L'chaira, there's kavod in it for them. And the obvious answer is, he says, is that these two great Jews, these two great giants of Klal Yisrael, were never affected by the kavod. The kavod did nothing, and everyone knew that. It was just a question. Maybe they had gotten some monetary, tiny little gain from them, so they say we didn't. But there's no question. They never took kavod from Klal Yisrael, and kavod by them was worth nothing. Rav Chaim brings another few examples of where we see the same concept. Shimshon, when he's about to pull down the building and kill thousands of Plishtim, he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me take revenge for one of my eyes. Zachrini, no, remember what happened to me, and please help me take revenge for the Plishtim. Now Rashi says in Shoftim, Zachar Hashem, please recall, Esrim Shana Sheshafatet Yis Yisrael, 20 years I served Klal Yisrael, and I never asked any of them, please, can you pass my staff from this place to that place? I never asked anyone to help me put back my svarim. I never asked anybody to pass me the salt. And it's mavur from Rashi that if Shimshon would have one time asked and gotten something from Klal Yisrael, he would not have the schus to pull down the building and kill those thousands of Plishtim. And again, l'chayr, he received from them kavod. Shimshon Agiba received kavod. The answer is that kavod did nothing for him. It was meaningless in his eyes. He finds also by Yiftach, Shchaim Shmulevitz. Yiftach, when they ask him, this is next week's Haftarah, when they ask him to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, he responds and he says, I will go to war, but you have to agree, you have to sign, you have to put in writing that I'm going to be the unchallenged leader of Klal Yisrael. And he repeats it again, V'yasim es dvarav lefnei Hashem. In front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he insists, everybody know about this, that they realize he's going to be the leader. And we have the same question. L'chaira, it's very strange. Nobody would go over and insist over and over again, make sure I'm the leader, make sure I'm the leader. It's not a normal sounding request. The answer obviously is, he knew that he could best serve their interests only as their undisputed leader. And therefore, he was able to go along and ask it because it was nothing to do with himself. It was all about them. It's not that he was looking for any kavod at all. The source of this concept of not being affected by kavod classically comes from the Chayves Halvavis, twice in the Sefer. Chayves Halvavis, first of all, is at the end of the Sefer, in Shar Aves Hashem, he gives a list of attributes of an Oyev Hashem, what you'll find by an Oyev Hashem, the type of midos, and he writes, Mehem, from amongst the different traits which you'll find by an Oyev Hashem, one of them is something he calls Hishtavus, equality, meaning he is not affected whatsoever, the Oyev Hashem, if he is praised or insulted. They're both equal by him. He does his job. He tries to do Ratzon Hashem. If people get upset at him, or if people compliment him, it makes no difference to him. The Oyev Hashem just does what's right. He writes this a little bit more at length in Shar Yichud HaMaisa Perek Hei, by the Pito Yasheni, the second persuasion of the Yetzer Hara, which the Chavis of Ovis describes. The Yetzer Hara tries to convince a person, Avas HaShavach, enjoy being praised, V'Avas HaShem Toiv, enjoy having a good name, and how the Yetzer Hara tries to convince a person he should enjoy people complimenting him and giving him kavod. And he writes against it, of course. At the end, he writes a very famous story, says the Chavis of Ovis. Kvar Amru al Echer Min HaChasidim, it is told about one of the special pious people. Sh'amar l'chaveira, he said to his friend, Hanish Tavisa, have you become equal? Amar loy be'ez ini, what are you talking about? Equal about what? Amar loy nishtave be'einecho hashabach v'hagnus, is insult and compliment equal to you? Amar loy, no. You know, when someone compliments me, it's not the same as someone goes along and insults me, it's just not the same. You have not yet arrived. We'll see him in a few minutes what he's arrived and not arrived at. Hishtadel, try really hard. Ulai tagia la madrega hazois. Maybe you can attain this level. This is the highest level of all pious people. V'tachlis achamudais. It's the ultimate of all the precious gifts to have this midah of hishtavos, that no matter what's going on, compliment or insult, it's all the same by you. You are working to do the right thing, and you're not affected by it. Now, I'll just point out that Rav Yaakov Emden, in his Sefer on Midas, when he brings down this Chayves Halavos in the third chelik of a Siddur, which is printed separately, he writes that we do have to really understand there are psukim and chazalim which definitely go where one should not be insulted, just do the right thing. But there are psukim and chazal which seem to infer that sometimes people are insulted. So we do have to work this out. And he says he spoke about it somewhere. I could not find where the place that he referred to. He said he speaks about it in two different places. I couldn't find them over there. But as the Shemitah Shem, the Shir goes on, Shem should help that we should be zoiche to get a bit of a clarification of how this works when we say it and when we don't. The Rambam, this is very important, in Pirush HaMishnayos of Avos Perek Dal the Mishnah Dal on the Mishnah, which instructs us to be humble, extremely humble, the Rambam is famous, brings an awesome story which he found in a non-Jewish book called, you know, one of these Sefer Hamidas books, a book about Midos Tovos, and he brings a story about a chassid, a very pious, high-level person, who this person related, says the Rambam, about the greatest, most joyous day of his life. And this was his experience. This was his great joy. He said, one day, I was traveling by boat on a ship, and I had the lowest berth, the cheapest cabin. Wasn't even a cabin. It was just like stuck downstairs at the bottom, lying with shmatis. And there were all these fancy people on the boat, but I was down in the lowest, the cheapest ticket. And I was in my place, and one of the workers on the boat, or one of the inhabitants on the boat, or was on the boat, needed to go to the bathroom, needed to relieve himself. And he looked at me, where I was lying by these shmatas, and he decided that I'm so low down for him, that he uncovered himself in front of me, and relieved himself upon me. And the truth is, relates this person that the Rambam quotes in Pirkei Avos, Perek Dal, Mishnah Dalet, I did not feel bad at all. I thought that this person was disrespectful. I was shocked by his behavior, but I personally did not feel degraded, did not feel sad, did not feel hurt, offended, didn't need to go to anybody for psychology, for help. And as I realized that I attained this level, how this fellow is not going to knock me down, his misconduct is not going to put me out of my joy or my place or my level or wherever I am. At that moment, I felt tremendous simcha that I have attained this understanding that this person cannot anger me, this person cannot defame me or shame me, and how I was able to ignore his behavior. And the Rambam writes, after he quotes the story, Ein Safik, Shezeh HaGvul HaAchri, this is the final boundary, the final level, B'Shiflus HaRuach Kadeli Yisrachek Ben Agav, this is the most distant that a person needs to go. So this is very similar to the Chayvus HaVavis. This is the greatest level in Anivus. And Menaris Amar, in Ner Shvi, when he brings down the story, he writes that this story, again, is a story about a guy. So, Kal v'chomer Klai Yisrael, who have a neshama tahira, they could definitely attain really high, incredible levels in Anava. But this, again, is the same as the Chayvus HaVavis, the Smidah of Ishtavos. I'm not going to be affected because of some barking dog. And the same, I'm not going to be affected by someone who's complimenting me. I'm able to be myself because I'm doing the right thing. I once heard from Rav Emanuel Feldman Shlita, that's Rav Aaron Feldman's brother, the famous former Rav of Atlanta, lives in Bayit Vagan, was in his house, and he related his father was a Rav in Baltimore, and he said that one of the things that he learned from his father was that whether someone compliments you as the Rav, whether the congregation is paying respect, or whether people are upset and defaming you and insulting you, it doesn't change what you do. And he said he was zaycha to receive this midah from his father, and if someone compliments him or insults him, it means nothing to him. Someone told me just now that in the new book, the new art school book of Chaim Kanievsky, Rav Jacobson told me he read there, somebody went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky and mentioned to him how he was having a hard time with COVID, and Rav Chaim looked at this person who was, I guess, an older fellow and said, what are you, a baby, a tatinok? Like, what do you care about if someone's giving you COVID or not, or insulting you? At some point, a person should attain some minimal level of ishtavas. He doesn't break down or shoot up based on other people's comments. He just finds the right thing. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me? We'll just say one more story for now. The Meir Bram told me a story. The Rav Gustman said that after Reb Chaim Oizer Grzhovsky, the Gadol Hadar, stood up for him one time, and after Lahavdil, the Nazis Yamach Shemoy insulted and degraded him so much, there is no such thing as anybody ever again affecting him by their respect or insult. He was able to take those two extremes. We felt both of them obviously weren't due to him. He saw right through it, right through the bluff of what COVID is and what Bezayin is and how it should not affect him. He just needs to do what the Rabbi Shalom wants. Of course, he's supposed to give kavod to others, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates to give kavod to him, to kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but as far as the individual goes, shouldn't be lifted up or thrown down based on them. The Reishis Chachma in Shara Anova asks, how come in davening we say, Vilm Kalalai Nafshi Sidaim? Why don't we just say, Vilm Kalalai, to those that curse me, Edaim, I'll be quiet. Why the extra Nafshi Sidaim? And also, why do we repeat ourselves seemingly afterwards and say, V'nafshi Ka'afar Lakol Tiyah? What's that repetition? What are we adding by V'nafshi Ka'afar Lakol Tiyah? So the Reishis Chachma writes that there are many people able to control themselves, externally seeming calm and not upset or not angry. However, in davening we request, we don't just want to be externally quiet and calm. We want to be inside. Our nefesh should be calm, not be affected by those that hurt us. By Esav, it says in the Pasuk, Vayistim Esav is Yaakov. Esav had a rage against Yaakov, but he contained it because he didn't want to do anything so long as his father was alive. But we want that the nefesh, our nefesh, which really is just seeking peace and quiet, says the Reishis Chachma, should be zoiche to not be affected by the makalai, those that curse her out. So the makalai, those that defame me and insult me and offend me, nafshi sidim, I should be zoiche that inside I should have a pnimius and not be affected by them at all. What's the continuation of nafshi ka'afar lakoltia? So he says two pshatim. One pshat, he says, he heard from his friend Rabbi Avraham Halevi, who writes that human beings are compared to offer, because the more you crush it, the more use there is from it. In other words, when you have pebbles, not so much you could do with it. But if you crush it more and more, it has more use. So he says that I will become a better person if I'm a recipient, believe it or not, of more insult. If I could cope with insult more and not be affected, then I could stay focused on my Avodas Hashem. I could do what's right because I'm not being affected or destroyed or broken every time someone goes along and says something. I get lifted up, I get pulled down. No, I'm going to do what's right, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me, and nothing else. Other people aren't going to lift me and throw me down. So that's, says the Reishis Chachma, that can be the continuation. V'nafshi ka'afar l'kol ti, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please train me over and over to become more and more refined sand. I should be crushed down by the insults to the point where I'm not bothered by it. It doesn't hurt me at all. Very high level. But we daven for this. We daven when we request this level. And then he says another pshat in the second half, Ibn Ashi Kafra Lakoltia. He says, he saw Rav Shlomo Alkabetz, the famous author of Lecha Doidi, and a bunch of other svarim, less famous. But Rav Shlomo Alkabetz writes, starts off the same way as he did, said they were both mechavim to each other, that Lekalai Nafshi Sidam is, my premia should be calm. I shouldn't be upset, not be affected, but not just I'm hiding it. And the second part he says, what's dirt? Dirt is trampled on. Dirt is thrown around, stepped all over, and still, it produces food. Out of that grows all the food we have. He brings, there's a pasuk in Nehemiah, the Sefer Nehemiah, Umanacha loy manata mipiem. Kadosh Baruch Hu never stopped giving us the man. And it's referring to even the day of the Cheta Egel, while we were spitting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face. Kadosh Baruch Hu still gave us the man. So it's like we were stepping all over him, and he still fed us. Says Rav Shlomo Alkabetz, that's an offer again. Offer, you step all over, you treat it like dirt, because it is dirt, and still produces food. He says, I want to be the same way, says Rav Shlomo Alkabetz. When I daven Shmoneh Esrei L'kayin Tzar, I have in mind and I say, not just the little kalai nafshi sidaim, I should stay quiet and not be affected by those that insult me. I want to still be able to go along and give them back. I still want to go along and be able to help them. I saw a story with Rav Ezra Raful. He was the great Rabbanim from Aram Tzava from Syria. He lived in Yerushalayim, and there was a fellow that would always find every opportunity to insult him whenever he could. Mamish mitvaza him, yell at him, and be completely disrespectful. And one day this fellow needed something from Rav Ezra Raful. He came to his house in the Musayif neighborhood. He walked into him. He said, I need this and this thing. Could you help me with it? And he sat down, and the Rav gave him the biggest Kabbalah upon him and the biggest smile. And he asked his wife, if you could please bring the fellow a cup of coffee. And he was cordial to him, helped him. And after he left, his wife said, how did you do that? This guy insults you all the time. How did you help him? How did you help him with a smile? I want you to know, she said to her husband, when I was serving him the coffee, my hand was shaking. It almost spilled all over him. And he said, I've been working on the Chavis Alvavis my entire life, to try to not be affected and just love people no matter what, no matter how they treat me. I just got to do Hashem, what Hashem wants from me. And Baruch Hashem, I see today that I was somewhat zeichet to this. The Chavis Yair, the famous Gadol Paisik Chavis Yair from hundreds of years ago, writes in his Hakdama to his Sefer Chavis Yair, I know people are accustomed to go along and insult new Sfarim that come out. Make fun of new Sfarim that come out. I just saw Rosh Taman related that the Chavetz Chaim was an asifa, a gathering of Rabbanim, and someone started making fun of the Chavetz Chaim Sfarim, all his Sfarim, Mishaburu, Chavetz Chaim, saying you wrote a bunch of Sfarim for ladies. And there's nothing wrong with ladies, but he was trying to say these are not high-level Sfarim. That's what this fellow was trying to say. And Rosh Taman says he knows who it was, he's not going to say who that fellow was. And the Chavetz Chaim ignored it, obviously, didn't let it bother him, and continued to produce awesome svarim which Klal Yisrael live off. So, the Chavis Yair says, I know people are going to insult my sefer. People do that. But, he says, Toida Lakel, I'd like to thank the Rabbi Yishalom. I was completely zoiche to the midah of hishtavis, of having everything's equal to me. It makes no difference to me if I'm insulted or offended. I was zoiche to that madrega. And since I was zoiche to that madrega, it absolutely will not bother me what these people say about me. You know, they're not allowed to. They might have to have a din v'chesed on it, he says. He says, but to hurt my feelings or to stop me from my avodas Hashem, that doesn't affect me whatsoever. I don't think about them. I just think about what is the Rabbi Shalom want for me. That's the right thing. That's what I stay focused on. Nothing else. The Shlach HaKadosh, in Parshas Ekev, very interesting, he calls Parshas Ekev, Ekev Anava. So he speaks a lot about Anava in Parshas Ekev. He says, David HaMelech in Tehillim says, Hashem le'gava libi le'rabu enai, Kadosh Baruch Hu, when I found out that I'm the king, I did not feel any gaiva, which is absolutely incredible. If you remember the shir we gave before, I think before Shavuos, David HaMelech is amazing a level of how insulted he was, how what they thought of him all the years. They thought that he was like a mamzer, and he was treated horribly. They tried to cause his death, and all of a sudden, he was announced to be the great king. And David HaMelech says at that moment, he says, there was no gaiva by me. I didn't look around with a smirk and wink my eyes at others, or scorn, and say, ah, you see, I didn't do any of that, says David HaMelech in Tehillim Shir HaMaalos. Amazing. David HaMelech had the midah of Ishtavis. It wasn't affected by me. I didn't go along when all of a sudden I was lifted from the garbage cans to the highest of the high. I did not go around and start jumping at everybody's head. But the question is, says the Shlach HaKadosh, L'chari, that itself is gaiva. To talk about it and say I wasn't a bal gaiva, L'chari is gaiva itself. More so, says the Shlach HaKadosh, we could ask this question on Rabbi Yosef. The Gemara at Ed Masechah Saita on the Mishnah that says that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi passed away, that was the last of the humble people, says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Al Tisni Anava, it's a mistake to be gairis that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was the last of the humble people. The Ika Anah, because I'm still around. I'm still here. So everybody asked in that Gemara, well, it doesn't seem to be a very humble thing to say that you are still here and you are Mr. Humble. How is that not considered gaiva in itself? The answer is, says the Shlach HaKadosh, this chayvas alvavis. He brings the chayvas alvavis. This chayvas alvavis. I mean, this is shtavas. He's stating a fact. I see that I was zeichet to become an anav, but not that he's enjoying the feeling of superiority because he's an anav. So David HaMelech is stating, I was zeichet to have this midah. I was zeichet to attain this level, and I could talk about it and share it with others. The Chidah in Sefer Maris Ayin says that the reason why Mamish this thing, that the reason why Rabbi Yosef is teaching this is he wants people not to think that this mid of Anava is unattainable. Mishnah says, when Rabbi died, no more humble people. So it's like people will think, oh, I cannot attain this level of humility. He says, no, you can attain this level of humility because I've attained it and you can attain it too. I'm the greatest humble person around. Is that a contradiction in itself? No, because it's not something which makes him feel better. He just, Simcha, Baruch Hashem, I was like it to it. He doesn't feel superior or greater than others because of it. He's Adarabba. There's no difference to me when I'm insulted or when I'm praised. They're both the same by me. And that's what David's saying, and that's what Rabbi Yosef is saying. I'll tell you an amazing line from Nachman Breslover in Lekutei Maran, Torah Kuf Mem Ches. He writes, Iker Midas Anava, the main aspect of the trait of humility, someone could write on himself, someone could write concerning himself, just like Moshe wrote, va'ish Moshe anav ma'od. Someone could write about himself, va'ish Moshe anav ma'od. Someone could write that, honestly write that, that shows he's the greatest anav. He's not affected by it. That's the truth. I'm an anav, says Moshe Rabbeinu. That's who I am, says David HaMelech. You got to make sure you don't give up on working on another, says Rav Yosef, because I've done it, the greatest level, and there's nothing false about it. Tremendous. Meridical level. Rav Steinman writes, sorry, I saw in a sefer, a story with Rav Steinman, the Rav Steinman, a reshiva came and told him that there's a bacher who, he has a student at yeshiva, who was talking to this reshiva about every time someone says something, it either puts him up, puts him down. So he's like a bouncing ball. One day he's in a good mood, one day he's in a bad mood. It depends what people, how people related to him that day. So Rav Shteyman said to this Rav Shiva, tell this Bachar the Chayvus Alvavos and that story that the Rambam brought down. Because even though we're not on that level, but just to have the knowledge that there is such a level, that itself could help a person out. So we're maybe not all going to be able to attain this level, even though Rechaim Shulevitz and that Shmuz that we began with writes, this is something which is attainable for everybody. And that's really what the point of Rav Yosef and David Amel, Chamaish Rabbeinu is, Rav Yosef specifically, is to show that you can attain it. But just even right away, just knowing this shir, knowing this topic, knowing that this person that's insulting is just a barking dog, and the person that's complimenting and giving good praise and standing up, it's also the same. The real truth is, what are we before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's all that really counts. That itself can help make us into great people. And he says that's the Shaman says that's really the first sif in Shulchan Aruch. It's the basis of Yiddishkeit. Everybody knows the first sif in Shulchan Aruch. What does it say? That one should not be misbayish, ashamed, uncomfortable in front of those that are making fun of you in front of a Kadosh Baruch. You're doing your avodas Hashem. Your job is to go along and just do it and not be insulted about those that are misbayish you or insult you. And that should never stop you. It shouldn't deter you from being a good Jew. Which means this is the basis of being a Yid. If you can't go along and try to somewhat attain that your avodas Hashem is not dependent on others, but you're just working on yourself. If you can't do that, then chas v'shalom, you're not going to be able to do much of Yiddishkeit. You won't be able to keep much of Shulchan Aruch. So this is so extremely important. Yirmit Hashem, we will continue this shir next week on next week's Haftarah. Just we'll finish with one last story, an awesome story, amazing story. Rav Shmelka of Nicholsburg, the famous Talmud of the Magen Mizrich, the brother of the Haflah, when he first arrived in Nicholsburg and became the Rav, the Rebbe, of the new Rav of the city of Nicholsburg in Germany. So, I think he was the Rav there before Shamshon Fall Hirsch was the Rav after, if I'm not mistaken, before Shamshon was in Frankfurt. Anyways, he came to the city and he saw the tremendous kavod which they had prepared for him. The speeches and the food and the kugel and all the flags and everyone dressed up. And as soon as he came to the city, before he went to the Beis Medrash, he said he needs to go to a room for a few moments, for a few minutes. So he went into a room, closed the door, and someone, Baruch Hashem, went and snuck in. Otherwise, he wouldn't know the story. Somebody went and snuck in to watch what he's doing. And this is what he was doing. He said the following, Bruchim Abayim, Mayreinu V'Rabbeinu, Godol Ador Rosh Yeshiva, HaChosar Atar of Shmelke. And then he walked in, in his own room, pretending he's walking in. And then he did it again. He said, welcome, welcome, the new Rav, our Chashev, Chashev, Rabbi. We're such a schus. We were zeichet to the greatest Gadol Hadar in our generation, Rav Shmelka of Nicholsburg. And then, he stood up and started smiling at everybody who was imaginary. This was all taking place in a room, a little weird charade he was doing by himself. This fellow couldn't control himself. He said, Rabbi, what are you doing? This is weird. Strange, what is this? He said, in a moment, I'm going to be receiving this tremendous kavod. I saw all the kavod they prepared for me. And I wanted to practice realizing how it's all nonsense. It's all imaginary. It's all meaningless. And just like I saw right now how foolish I look when I'm a chabad myself, so too. I want to make sure I feel the same way and has the same silliness in my eyes when I get the covet afterwards. I want to make sure chas v'shalom, I'm not nichshol in any covet. And Reb Shmalka said a beautiful Chassidish Epshat in the Mishnah in Avos, which says, Yihi kvoid chavercha alecha kishalcha. Your friend's kavod should be just as much as your own. Which the Pash Epshat means, that you should, just as much as you want people to respect you, you should go along and respect others. But Reb Shmalka had another Epshat. He said, the kavod which you receive from your friend, kavod chavercha, the kavod that your friend gives you, kishalcha, should be as if you were giving kavod to yourself. Which obviously is ridiculous. And that's how it should be when you look at others. Because my avodas Hashem is not dependent on others, not dependent on other people's reactions, other people's compliments or insults. I am looking to do what is right. I want to be zoiche to the midah of Ishtavas. Have a good Shabbos, and Mirat Hashem will continue next week.